broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. This is Liberty Roundtable Live for September 27th in the year of our Lord, 2019. This is hour 2 of 2. The goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, it's a freedom-loving fantastic. We're taking America back, one heart, one mind, one issue at a time. For Friday, the good sheriff, the only man to beat Bill Clinton at the Supreme Court over a non-sexual matter. It was over guns. It was over our rights. It was a states' rights issue, and the good sheriff, Richard Mack, won, and Bill Clinton lost. And the reality is there is dual sovereignties in America, ladies and gentlemen. The states are not puppets of the federal government. No matter how dishonest the press is about it, no matter how belligerent and power-grabbing the feds are, the truth shall make us free. Welcome, Sheriff.
Hey, thank you. Thank you, Sam. It's a beautiful Friday morning.
Yes, it is, sir. All right, there's so much to cover in the news.
Oh, my
God. There's so much news on this, but do you want to just talk about this whistleblower? Who is the whistleblower? Is the whistleblower a deep state plant? The whistleblower is supposedly an unnamed CIA officer who was detailed to the White House. We don't know the name of the person, but the whistleblower even says in the, as far as I can tell, unclassified version of the complaint, which means we don't even have the real complaint. This whistleblower says flat out through it over and over and over that the whistleblower didn't even have firsthand information, wasn't even there.
He's not even qualified as a whistleblower.
But yet they're now peddling this as credible as all get out and barbecuing the Donald in the court of public opinion. What's happened here, Sheriff?
Well, usually a whistleblower is somebody that has actually been abused, seen the abuse, instead of somebody that is really just rumoring, well, I heard that this happened. And that's all he is, he or she. I don't think we know.
Well, they say it was a he.
Okay, he.
Now, I don't know that they're allowed to use that pronoun, but they sure did, buddy.
They shouldn't use that pronoun at all.
Got that right.
Yeah. It's probably unprecedented that you have worldwide media calling somebody a whistleblower who obviously is hearing rumors. I mean, that could make me a whistleblower. I think Nancy Pelosi robbed a bank when she was 19 because I heard somebody say that at a rally that we had once.
Darn right. She was probably a 9/11 is what I was thinking. She's probably the mastermind behind 9/11, don't you think?
Yeah.
Now, we're being belligerent, ladies and gentlemen, and don't think for one second, enemies in the media, don't take our comments out of context. We're trying to demonstrate the absurd by being absurd. Okay, we're trying to clearly get you to understand this is nothing but rumor. This is second, third-hand information. And when you have a reconstructed transcript of a phone call, on one side, and on the other side, you have an unclassified version of a document filed by a whistleblower, and the whistleblower doesn't even have firsthand events. Every bit of this is propaganda, dishonest allegations on every side of the coin, Sheriff. Every side of the coin.
Wait, no. On the other side of the coin that you just alluded to, Sam, you have a very legitimate investigation that Trump, on a phone call to the president of the Ukraine, said, hey, you know what? It'd really be a favor to me if you actually conducted that investigation because you obviously have evidence of wrongdoing with Joe Biden's son. He didn't say falsify a investigation like the Democrats did on the president's Russia connection. He didn't say falsify anything. He said do and asked him. He didn't even order him as, you know, the mafia comment from a stupid congressman from California. His name eludes me right now. But anyway,
is it Nadler or?
No.
What?
Schiff?
Schiff. Yeah, Schiff. Thank you. I was thinking of Nader. I wanted Schiff, but I was actually, Nader kept coming up. But stupid Schiff saying, oh, yeah, this was a mafia shakedown. You would hear this exactly from the Godfather, mafia head, you know, First, how would he know? Does he watch too much TV, or does he actually get involved with them?
Or is he in the mafia? Yeah, good point.
But
there was no quid
ridiculous.
Pro quo at all, Sheriff, and that's the point here. And there was a order by Vice President Biden and literally a threat of taking away big money. There was a blatant threat and a blatant order by Biden. He even bragged about it.
Exactly.
And so this is completely manufactured stuff. Do you think that the Democrats are going to lose on this one, or do you think that they're going to be able to proceed with Donald?
You know, it just doesn't make any sense how much the Democrats get away with. And it seems like, in my humble opinion, they're going to get away with this one, too. I don't think it's going to hurt the president. In fact, politically, I think it's going to help him. But I just don't think that they're going to – I think they're going to get away with it again. And probably the main reason, and I've said this on your show, and I've said this even in my book, and it is this. You can get away with anything as long as the national media is supporting you. And, you know, I don't think the stuff – obviously, Fox is not enough to counter what is going on in the world media. And WorldNet Daily and you and others that actually tell the truth, I don't think it's enough. I think people pay too much attention to this. But if you'll notice the polls are almost 60% of the American people, including Democrats, that we don't want Trump impeached. And it's just astonishing how the Democrats won't even take advantage of their own stupidity, but
well, here's the question, though.
Of their own polls,
they make you believe they're pushing for impeachment. They suggest they have a formal inquiry of impeachment.
Yeah.
Now, that's a lot of fancy words to say nothing, though, Sheriff. What does a formal inquiry mean? It means that we don't like what we're seeing, and we're going to see if we can gather enough evidence to make it real. That's all it is.
Well, there is a lot of hyperbole and a lot of hype.
And I'll prove it to you. When is the vote for an impeachment scheduled?
Nothing.
Where are the articles of impeachment drawn up and submitted for that vote to take place? And the answer on both counts is no.
No, nothing.
All right, so I say we're looking into impeaching all the Democrats who are working on impeachment. In fact, I haven't filed a formal impeachment on the radio here that we're going to... Okay, what does that all mean? And what I'm saying to you is it means nothing. It sounds great in the media, like there's legitimacy here, but there's not, and they know it.
Right.
Because what's a formal versus informal impeachment? Is there guidelines that denote that? A formal inquiry versus a non-formal inquiry.
Oh, I'm sure there is, yeah.
There is?
There would have to be.
Explain it to me.
Well, as far as an official...
No, don't change the words. They didn't use the word official, sir.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Now, if you talk about official, we might have some legislative reality that there's guidelines. But what's a formal inquiry?
A formal inquiry?
They're saying it's a formal inquiry of impeachment, trying to make it sound legitimate when I'm submitting to you that it isn't. That's my whole point.
I get what you're saying.
And I don't mean to play games with words, but I submit to you that's what they're doing here.
But that's what
they want
doing.
You to believe it. The impeachment proceedings have started, and that is an absolute lie.
Yeah. Yeah, there was somebody else who mentioned that on the news.
Okay, what proceedings? What formal? What makes an impeachment inquiry formal?
Formal.
Is it when you get a body, what do they call that, investigator?
No, you have to wear a tuxedo, Sam.
Well, that's a formal, yeah.
That's a good point. But really, though, what was, in Bill Clinton's Monica Lewinsky case, what was that guy, Ken Starr, what was he called, the prosecutor?
Special counsel.
Okay, do you got to have a special counsel for a formal impeachment there, Sheriff? What do you got to have to make it formal? You just, like, put it on Pelosi's letterhead or what?
Yeah, you're right.
See, I don't understand this, and maybe I'm just stupid. Maybe I just lack understanding of the law, because I'm certainly not an attorney. Maybe I'm certainly not a government, employee or anything else. So maybe I'm just an ignorant outside commentator. But I want to know what a formal impeachment means, because they haven't filed a formal impeachment. They've got a formal impeachment inquiry. What the heck is that?
It's their wording to convince people there's a serious situation going on. And what the only thing it is has exposed this whole thing is, as you said, the Joe Biden problem. And Joe Biden, it appears, there is credible evidence that he has done exactly what the Democrats are trying to accuse Trump of doing, and there's absolutely no evidence that Trump did what they're saying he did.
So the New York Times says Nancy Pelosi files a formal impeachment inquiry of Donald Trump, New York Times. What does that mean?
It means she is now blessed it to try to find something on him.
Okay, the impeachment process, where lawmakers stand. They go into all this. Okay, so they give this era or this idea of legitimacy, but they're not talking about any of those things. In other words, there's no connection between her formal announcement, okay, and the things that it would take to make it real. Okay, that's what I'm saying. I don't get it. Is it because the Speaker of the House said, oh, it's legitimate now?
Yeah, that really is it. She didn't support it until this phone call. And then this phone call is supposed to be something that shows the president did something? This would be laughed at in any court of law. I mean, it would be laughed at. It's just, I mean, it's not going to go to court, and this isn't going to go.
All right. And well, here's the statement for the New York Times. Yeah, Nancy Pelosi said the House would begin. Nancy Pelosi said the House would begin formal impeachment proceedings against President Trump. So she's threatening to do it. She hasn't done it yet, or else they would have already begun. Am I clueless?
I don't think so.
Liberty Roundtable live in seconds.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues that affect the American West, its people, lifestyles, lands, and wildlife. The Loving Liberty Radio Network is proud to support efforts to provide an active forum for solutions that will preserve the vanishing resource of the American cowboy. Each issue contains informative articles on life in the American West, along with breathtaking imagery that celebrates our history, as well as the culture of the cowboy spirit in our day. Range Magazine also features great gift ideas, like the 2020 Real Buckaroo Calendar and the book, Tales from Out There. You can order online from rangemagazine.com. Just click on the shopping cart. The Loving Liberty Radio Network salutes the spirit of the American West and those who are keeping it alive at Range Magazine.
I'd advise Mr. Trump to stop whining and go try to make his case to get votes.
The press has created a rigged system. They even want to try and rig the election.
Well, I tell you what, it helps in Ohio that we got Democrats in charge of the machines.
And poisoned the mind of so many of our voters.
At the polling booths, where so many cities are corrupt and voter fraud is all too common. And then they say, oh, there's no voter fraud in our country.
I come from Chicago. So I want to be honest. It's not as if it's just Republicans who have monkeyed around with elections in the past. Sometimes Democrats have too. You know, whenever people are in power, they have this tendency to try to, tilt things in their direction.
There's no voter fraud.
You start whining before the game's even over. Whenever things are going badly for you and you lose, you start blaming somebody else. And you don't have what it takes to be in this job.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
So they want you to believe that formal impeachment proceedings are underway. That is a lie. Nancy just basically was against impeachment. All the Democrats were hollering and yelling, and now she says, I'm going to start impeachment proceedings. But they haven't begun yet, ladies and gentlemen. And this is kind of the thing you need to know. There's one thing to threaten to do so. It's another thing to literally file articles of impeachment. Now, Kurt and Sheriff, do you know how impeachment proceedings work? They don't work with like a threat by the Speaker of the House in the mainstream press. That's not how impeachment proceedings begin, sir.
No, that's correct. It does begin in the House.
That is correct.
And they have to take it to the floor, and they have to all vote on it. But I believe it's only 50%.
But who can bring articles of impeachment? And the answer is the House.
Right.
In the United States, the articles of impeachment are drafted by the House of Representatives for cases involving federal officials. Once drafted, a supermajority of the United States Senate is required to convict based on the articles. Now, I bring this up because even if Nancy threatens it, unless she can get enough of her body to carry weight and to put it together, it won't go anywhere. Will it, Sheriff?
Well, it'll get out of the House, but if it will...
Well, how do we know?
I think they've already tested the waters on that.
Okay, so hold on. They've done a pre-kind of poll, and it's their opinion that it'll get out of the House.
Yeah, and I think it will just because...
And I agree with you, but here's my point. Until you vote, you don't know.
Well, true.
And I'm not playing games with words, but I'm trying to say, otherwise you arbitrarily advance this idea that impeachment's real and it's on the floor when it isn't.
But it's not, because it can't go anywhere in the Senate, and the Senate is the one that convicts.
But that's if they really get an article of impeachment together, and if enough of the Democrats find it credible enough to say we're going to really file these. We haven't even got there yet. I know it's likely that it would happen, but that doesn't mean that it's happened.
But Sam, if the Democrats will think about this politically, which is their forte in their entire life, some will want to do it just because, hey, I tried to impeach the president, we should have impeached the president, now vote for me. But others are going to be in the purple states and purple districts. They're going to be in trouble, and the people of this country are not supporting this. And if they can't see that, everybody is saying, take care of this in the next election. Anybody who is serious and impartial about a vote and about getting rid of somebody, they're gonna compare this to what Bill Clinton did and what Donald Trump has done, and they're gonna list everybody talking. In fact, they already are. I've heard some people say about what defending Trump that are now saying, or defending Clinton, and they're really now going after Trump. It's going to be a circus, yes, but it's going to expose Democrat hypocrisy more than it's ever happened, and as if that could ever be superseded. But it's going to, and I think it's really going to hurt the Democrats, especially in the purple states. And I think Trump right now is loving every bit of this.
Amen. Now, there's a difference between impeachment and removing from office, by the way. The House might be able to impeach if they get the votes, but the Senate would decide if it was a removal from office. And by the way, two presidents in American history have been impeached, Bill Clinton and Andrew Johnson, but neither of them got removed from office, and Nixon resigned before he could get impeached.
Correct.
So we don't have a single example of a president that gets impeached and removed from office.
Correct.
And so, wait, is impeachment even happening?
No, I don't, like I say, my suggestion is that the Democrats are going to pull back from this because they're going to see what a joke this phone call really was, and that it's not impeachable.
Now, I submit to you that they say there's an impeachment inquiry happening, mm-hmm. but if lawmakers decide there's enough evidence to consider writing up articles of impeachment, then they will, at which point impeachment might be underway. The difference is simple, but critical. It's important to understand that the majority of the House has to vote so. We don't know how many would vote to actually impeach is the point that I'm making. And I know it sounds like, oh, Sam, it's a slam dunk. They've already done the arm twisting and polling, and it's a given. It isn't a given until the vote, ladies and gentlemen, because you and I might be able to influence the outcome.
And that's why I don't understand why Pelosi has come out all of a sudden with this phone call and said, oh, yeah, now we have it. And she's coming out with her aggrandizing hyperbole that, oh, yes. And could you believe it, Sam? Don and I were just absolutely floored at how much now Nancy Pelosi is quoting the Constitution.
It's amazing, no doubt.
Oh my.
Now, do you know how many Democrats have gone on record and said that they publicly want to impeach the president? Do you know how many?
No, I don't.
27. Okay, now there may be a lot more, I get it. But let's not act like this is a slam dunk, because if you do, you're falling into the lie that I'm trying to reject right now.
Well, that, I think that kind of supports the point I was making about the Democrats trying to be serious and careful about this and watching it.
You're right.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, Nancy doesn't have to worry about it. She's in the heart of liberalism, and not only that, she's in the heart of lunatic liberalism in her district. She could win that if no matter what she was caught doing. I mean,
you're right.
She knows she's going to win. And I think the others, like Schiff and a few others, have a base in there.
Yeah, and they know that even if they lose it, they will go down in record as trying hard, and it'll benefit them individually, even though as a whole it'll be a loss. They don't care.
Yeah.
Now listen carefully to this, because I want you to understand this. This is, again, this is Constitution, folks. What is the process for an impeachment inquiry? Do you know? Well, most folks don't know, but here's the deal. Pelosi said on Tuesday that the six key committees that are already investigating the president will continue to investigate Trump under the umbrella of a, quote, impeachment inquiry. Now, that means that nothing has changed. They've already been investigating Donald for 2+ years, and nothing has changed except for the media is making it sound like it's elevated to a new level. And I'm telling you, nothing has changed. Nancy admitted it right there in her statement, Sheriff. Nothing is any different.
Well, Sam, if the Republicans had investigated Obama like they're investigating Trump, Obama would have gone down as the biggest crook that ever entered Washington, D.C.
I know, but the Republicans aren't willing to do that at all. They're not even willing to stand with President Trump or anything else. Now, listen carefully. If they find credible reason, if the investigation includes that there are reasons for impeachment, then the House Judiciary Committee will drop articles of impeachment, and then the Judiciary Committee will submit that to the whole House, and the House will vote on it. They haven't drawn up anything like that, Sheriff.
No, and it's really political theatrics here, and that's why Nancy's exposed it. Pelosi has exposed it the most of anybody, because she's been telling everyone this hasn't risen. Nothing he has done has risen to the level of a legitimate impeachment. And then all of a sudden there's some phone call that exposes Joe Biden more than anything, and now she's saying there is.
Now, do you know who the Judiciary Committee chairman is?
Nadler.
It's Gerald Nadler.
Nadler. Yeah.
Or Nadler, whatever. And he summed up the process to CNN. Here's what he said. Are you ready?
Yeah.
We are investigating all the evidence, gathering the evidence. And at the conclusion of this, hopefully by the end of the year, we will vote to push articles of impeachment to the House floor. Or we won't. That's a decision we'll have to make in the future. That's exactly the process. So there's not even a commitment that they're going to move forward yet, even though the media wants you to believe it's already underway.
Yeah.
That's what I'm getting at. And I don't mean to just double down so crazy on this, but I want the American people to understand that what they're peddling is dishonest propaganda. Now, the media is laying it out in a way in their articles to where the media is factual. But they're letting the headlines lead you into a false narrative, Sheriff.
Right.
So the House was already in an impeachment inquiry before this? Yes, well, kind of. It depends on who you ask. If you ask Nancy, no. If you ask Nadler, well, no. But we're investigating.
Right.
Pelosi was not supportive when Nadler started. All right? So what is... Anyway, it goes on and on, but I'm telling you, honesty is the issue. And the more you educate Americans about the real process and how it really works and where we really are, the more credible the news organization is, what I'm submitting to you. The mainstream press has done a good job at detailing the details in their long articles. They've done a horrible job in making sure their headlines match that reality so the American people get it. Honesty is the issue. Sam and Kurt, the good Sheriff Richard Mack, CSPOA in seconds.
proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The Pentagon says suicides of active duty service members hit an all-time high last year. The Defense Department report just released says the suicide rate was 24.8 per 100,000 service members in 2018. The annual suicide report showing 541 service members confirmed or believed to have committed suicide last year. That's up from 511 in 2017. Republican Senator Mitt Romney, one of the few GOP voices who called President Trump's dealings with the president of Ukraine in a phone call deeply troubling. The president's lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, says,
I wouldn't count on him. And he's bitter about Donald Trump. I mean, every time it's like a child. I mean, look, Trump did what you couldn't do.
And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Do you have an idea for an invention or new product? Do you think companies would be interested in your idea? Do you want to try to get a patent? Then call InventHelp now. InventHelp keeps your idea confidential and explains every step of the invention process. We create professional materials representing your idea and submit it to companies who are looking for new ideas. We have more than 9,000 companies who have agreed to review ideas in confidence. If a company shows interest in manufacturing your invention, we can negotiate on your behalf. We have helped over 10,000 clients receive patents. We also offer services including 3D modeling and animation demonstrating your idea, prototyping services, and we use state-of-the-art technology to show InventHelp client ideas to additional companies. Join the thousands of people just like you who chose InventHelp to pursue their idea. We are experienced. We are working for you. We are InventHelp.
Call us for free information at 1-800-460-1663. That's 1-800-460-1663. Again, 1-800-460-1663.
Protesters expected to try to block traffic in the nation's capital again today for another global climate strike. Millions marched in last week's global strike seeking action on climate change. In connection with today's action, a group of 16 kids from five continents, including Swedish activist Greta Thunberg, have filed a legal complaint against five nations seeking to change laws in the fight against climate change. The acting ICE director says current policies on sanctuary cities threaten public safety. Speaking at the White House, Matthew Abends said that those who support sanctuary cities to house undocumented migrants are putting politics over public safety. Alvin says in cities in California, New York, Illinois, North Carolina, and Colorado, they're creating safe havens where criminal aliens and gangs are flourishing. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
All right, you are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live. The good sheriff, Sheriff Richard Mack, with us. CSPOA.org, that's the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association. CSPOA.org, become a member today. I've been talking way too much, so what we're going to do is I'm going to throw out a headline. Kurt gave me the headlines, and then Kurt's going to follow up and fill the good sheriff in, and then the good sheriff and Kurt can talk about each one of them, and then we'll move to the next one. We got to go a little bit rapid fire because Kurt gives me so many of these. Student nearly flunked, Kurt.
Well, that's right, Sam. And this headline comes to us from the collegefix.com. It says, student says professor nearly flunked her after she made pro-life brochure for pregnant men. In 2017, a Fresno State University professor told his class to erase pro-life chalking that was expressly permitted by the public university. He paid $17,000 and agreed to take First Amendment training to settle the resulting lawsuit. I guess they say 3 hours north, a pro-life student claims she faced even worse discrimination by a professor in an incident that threatened her graduation. She made a brochure, her name is Brianna, she made a brochure for people who are transgender and pregnant, or trans men, for her queer studies class at the University of California, Davis. The article says it was not subtle, as judged by a copy given to the college fix by Students for Life of America. Planned Parenthood lies to those that are pregnant, is what it said in the brochure, which appears to cite the Pro-Life Action League as the source of its material. Anyway, the bottom line is, well,
crazy town.
Be careful when you're writing a brochure for pregnant men, huh, Sheriff?
In taxpayer-funded universities, no less, Sheriff.
Well, you see, Sam, this is where the LGBT movement loses all its credibility with continual stuff like this. And, you know, the people, in fact, at the GRPC that I attended over the weekend, that I spoke at last weekend, there were some LGBT people there, and they understand, at least the people that were there and some of their groups that they were representing, they understand the fundamental principle of rights, and it doesn't mean shoving them down other people's throats. It just simply means what we want is what is expressed in the Constitution. We want to be left alone. These other groups like this, happening in colleges and high schools and universities across our country, this makes it extremely difficult for anyone to take them seriously when they do such stupid stuff and try to hurt others if you don't agree with their opinion. That they will never be successful if they continue to try such ridiculousness.
It all depends on how you define successful, because while that whacked out story's going on in government universities, you got racist police officers hanging out, don't you, Kurt?
Good point. Can you say that one more time,
Walter
Sam?
E. Williams, sir. Racist police Walter. Officer exam. They got this questions going on, and Walter E. Williams writes about it and basically deals with these complaints about the process in Baltimore County, ladies and gentlemen. Are you familiar with this stuff, Sheriff?
I'm not sure which one you're talking about.
All right, Kurt.
Well, Walter Williams is a great example of somebody who, you know, basically does a lot of good stuff. And this is a WorldNet Daily piece. And the headline reads, Racist Police Officer Exam Questions. And Walter E. Williams addresses these complaints about the process in Baltimore County. Now, we've heard lots of Baltimore, stories and, the problems there. But, this racist idea, it's in all of our society. Anytime they want to say, quit looking here, they just bring up the R word, right?
What are these racist questions? What are they asking?
Well, what you've got is, in there in Baltimore County, they say that they ask on to, I'm just trying to look for the whole story here.
Let's say this. I have 1,000 police stops, and 500 of them are a white person I've stopped, and 500 of them are a black person that I've stopped, okay? And, out of the 500 that the blacks I've stopped, they go violent, they go horribly wrong, a significant number. Whatever that number is, it's way higher than when I do this to the white people. After a while, I'm going to be, I don't want to say trigger happy because I'm taking it too far, but I'm making a point. I'm going to be naturally more concerned when I pull over a black person. Not because the black person's a bad guy, not because we don't presume them innocent, but because my experience changes my DNA, my makeup, my mindset, my reality check, whether I want it to or not. So I have a little bit more of a leery going up to the car when I stop black people because, hey, they run from the cops. It goes wrong more often. Now, am I a racist or is that a reality check? Which one's true, Sheriff?
Well, Sam, I've had students ask this and other people as well. If you're walking down the street halfway through the street, the lights kind of get dark, and there's 10 black guys, and they have their bandanas on and tattoos and low-hanging pants. And
the whole get-up, sure.
And the golden necklaces and stuff. Are you going to be worried about that? Now let's change it and say there's 10 guys in suits, still black. Which one are you going to be afraid of?
I'm going to be afraid of the gangbangers, and I'm going to think the suit guys are probably pretty good guys. Now, I don't know that for a fact, but it doesn't change the reality. That's what I'm going to expect going in, and there's no way to prevent that expectation.
Yeah, exactly. And so is that racist, or is that just simply that you know what gangs look like and you want to be more careful and you're going to walk the other way?
It's kind of like in the days of old in Marshall Dillon's time, you know, if you had some guys with bandanas covering their nose and their, mouth, and then you've got the little grandma with, like a basket of cookies, which one's looking a little more dangerous? But in this story, what you've got, remember, Walter Williams is a black man, just in case
and
you talk weren't
show host
aware
that
of that. I don't know about that.
Commentator,
Sam.
Or whatever.
Guess, all right. Yeah, I mean, he's a writer. But anyway, the U.S. Justice Department, and I always put that in quotes like, recently sued the Baltimore County government. So one, government agency suing another one. Your tax dollars at work. They were alleging that their written test for police officer recruits is unfairly biased against black applicants. Now, you wonder why. They say it turns out that black applicants failed the written test at a rate much greater than white applicants. You know, they probably should have put it in Ebonics or something.
All right, he's been a guest host on the radio, by the way, Kurt. I knew I heard him on the radio. But he's a guest host for people like Rush and all that kind of stuff. He's mainly a commentator and a columnist. Anyway, go ahead.
There you go. It results in fewer blacks being trained and hired as police officers. Yeah. They say they use these different police tests or whatever. And Walter Williams says, hey, black performance on police exams is simply the tip of the iceberg of a truly tragic cruelty. That cruelty stands front and center when one examines the education that most blacks in Baltimore receive. And then he talks about what happens in the Baltimore High School and all that kind of stuff, where it's like, you get 1% of them that can do math, and it's just, normally you'd just shut down that operation if it wasn't in government. But he says, despite these academic deficiencies, about 70% of the students graduate and are conferred a high school diploma. High school diploma attests that the holder can read, write, and computer at 12th grade level. This is kind of right up your alley, Sheriff. But he says, when a person who cannot read, write, and compute very well takes a written employment exam, including that to become a police officer, he's going to encounter difficulties. Surprise.
That's racist.
yeah, that's right. Anyway, I just thought, it's a great story. And bottom line, it's just telling us the same old stuff. And that is the government schools, especially in these bastions of, socialism or liberalism or whatever, are a failure. And, that's one of the big problems.
Now, when you go to the hood, how many black people run from the cops versus how many white people run from the cops? Do you think it's equivalent, identical, Sheriff?
No, I don't.
Okay, so you think black people run from the cops more?
Yes.
Okay, so now, is it racist?
There's a reason, because they get attacked by the cops more.
Oh, maybe. I don't care about the reason. All I'm telling you, so I'm a cop, or I'm rolling in, and I'm going to arrest somebody. Is it appropriate for me to take a greater precaution that the black guy might run than the white guy? And is that racist for me to do so, knowing the reality?
I don't believe it's racist.
So, see, you get back to this scenario of, you got the chicken or the egg. What caused the racism?
Right.
Or is it racism at all? And I think that we want to attribute everything to racism in our society, unjustly so. I don't believe most people are racist. I really don't. All right, Foundation for Moral Laws in the news. Kurt has the tales in seconds.
Hi, I'm Patty, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused Border Agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, 4 grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved 4 checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America. Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? To help, text FIGHT to 444-999. Text F-I-G-H-T to 444-999 or go to defendapatriot.com. Defendapatriot.com.
Now, Mr. and Mrs. Sir Galahad, what seems to be the problem?
Well, it's just not working.
She's been very unrealistic.
Really?
Ever since he rescued me from the dragon, we've been drifting apart.
That's not true.
We were supposed to live happily ever after.
Now, this isn't a fairy tale.
At first, he was gallant and chivalrous, opening doors for me, holding my chair, taking my arm.
All right, I'm not as young as I used to be.
He simply isn't the man who swept me off my feet.
Well, you're not as young as you used to be.
Mr. Sir Galahad, maybe if you started by just holding Mrs. Sir Galahad's hand when you're together.
Really?
Yes, try it.
Okay.
All right, go on, take her hand. Careful, little oil.
Marriage. You're never too far apart when you're still holding hands. From your neighbors, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Now, look into each other's eyes. That's right, raise your visor.
Oh, they're blue, dear.
Yeah.
For more tips on strengthening your marriage, visit family.mormon.org.
All right, speaking of racism, a food company. Not only the cops, but the food company guilty of racism now, too. Kurt, food company fined $2 million for discriminating against non-Hispanics in California.
Yeah, we're in California right now, and this story basically is talking about a company called El Mexicano and their parent company, San Jose, California-based Marquez Brothers International. They were accused of preferring Hispanic job applicants over all other races in unskilled production and warehouse positions, according to BizPack Review. I guess they discouraged these non-Hispanic applicants by, among other things, imposing a language requirement not required for the job. And they say, what this violates the Civil Rights Act of 1964 or whatever. The federal agency said that in addition to the fine, Marquez Brothers agreed to sweeping injunctive relief to prevent discrimination in the future, including hiring an external monitor. You put a monitor outside or something?
So you got black people, Asian people, white people all discriminated against in this one, Sheriff, in preference of the Hispanics. What do you say to that?
Well, that's...
By the way, you have a horrible hum on your line. I don't know what you've done, but you're...
I just tried to change phones, and you're right.
Your other one needs to be the one you stick with, my friend. This one's horrible.
Go back.
they literally discriminated against white people, Asians, and black people here, and all in favor of Hispanics. It's a California deal. What's up with this, Sheriff?
Well, Sam, let's just stick with the rules and the laws of affirmative action, shall we? I mean, the government's answer to past discriminations and prejudice has been to create more. If you want to talk about racist, let's talk about the history of racism in America. Let's talk about President Andrew Jackson and how he treated Native Americans. Let's talk about, very recently, the iconic FDR, who was probably one of the worst racists ever to be in Washington, D.C.
All right, well, let's talk about Barack Obama. Hold on, Sheriff, your line is fading in and out, and there's still the horrible hum.
I know. Should we try my cell phone?
I don't know. I guess we can do that. I'll grab that. What do you say to this, Sheriff, or Kurt?
Well, in this story, they from WorldNet Daily and the source from other sources, they say... the lawsuit said one of the applicants was not hired despite having been better qualified than those ultimately hired. I mean, we see this right and left in so many ways, in so many areas where you have people that say, well, man, if I don't hire enough of either ladies or, you see those sheriff's departments with some lady taking some big old, bruiser to jail, and it's like, well, we needed to have so many ladies doing this. In this complaint, they charged these Marquez brothers. They say that they maintained a pattern of discrimination for the past 10 years. And they had facilities in California, Colorado, Arkansas, Illinois, Texas, Nevada, Oklahoma, Arizona, and Utah. So, you know, this is that speedy trial thing going on. It only took them 10 years to get to the bottom of this.
Well, Sheriff, the thing about this is Barack Obama, if we're going to talk about modern-day presidents that are super racist, he's the one using the N-word. They tried to find Donald using the N-word, and they haven't been able to find it yet. But I've got a soundbite of Barack using the N-word.
Well, Barack did a lot to promote racism and the divide in America. And his racism came in trying to create more racism. And to expose racism and that it was there. And he never did anything to try to calm it, to stop it, or to make it go back the other way. He promoted it. He loved it. And he did expose his own racist attitude quite often.
Now, I basically believe we're all God's children and we all ought to act like it. And God never says that when he says in the Bible that if we repent and turn to him, he'll heal our land and protect us. He says that to all races, Sheriff.
He does, and I don't believe that he has ever promoted one race over another. I believe that we have chosen, and sometimes a group of us have chosen, and sometimes it's an entire race, have chosen to turn our backs on God and godly principles. But I don't look at any race with disdain. I have admitted to my kids in school that after 9/11, that I had a, I don't know, what would you call it, towards Muslims.
Well, let me be very clear, because I think this isn't wrong on your part to have this. You had a fear of Muslims and somewhat of an anger towards Muslims because of what was done, but you were wise enough, though, not just to hate everybody, but you couldn't help having that concern in your mind. And that's my point about when a cop goes out and deals with a black person. When a cop goes out to arrest a black person that looks like a thug, you can't blame them for having these preconceived notions. You can't help it.
And my dad talked to me about that when he was in the FBI, and how it seemed that there were just an inordinate amount of blacks that were committing the crime. And but I'll tell you what, Sam, I grew up with some really great black guys. And they were all on my baseball teams and football teams and basketball teams. And, you know, Danny Smith and I were just really good friends. Willie Scroggins was. B.B. Andrews still is a very good friend of mine. And we grew up. Now, B.B. was a little bit older, and I just so idolized him. And Claude Smith, another basketball player that I totally idolized. And I never was told by anybody, well, you shouldn't idolize that guy because he's black. I was never told that by anyone, and I just love them and still do. And my students, my Muslim students at school, you've met some of them before.
Yes,
yourself.
They're great people.
And they're just wonderful. And one of them said, Abake, invited me to their Ramadan service, and I really wish I had been able to go because he was so free. He said, Sheriff, you'd be totally welcome. And the way he invited me sounded so nice and inviting that I really wanted to go. And in fact, I called him afterwards. I said, is there anything else that I can go to? He goes, no, Ramadan's over. You know, you'd have to wait for another deal or maybe next year or something. I said, well, please invite me again. And these Muslim kids go out of their way every morning. This little girl, she's a freshman. I had her last year in eighth grade. She goes out of her way to say hello to me every day. She comes in my class. I don't have her in a class this year, but she comes in my class every morning. And it's hard to find me this year because I don't have a classroom. I only teach in classes where teachers have a free period because we're so big and growing so much that we didn't have enough rooms for everybody. And they asked me if I would be a floater. And I do. I teach on every floor now, and my office is on the second floor. So all four floors, I teach on those. And I love these kids, Sam. I really do. And
all of them?
Every one of them. And
all
I
right.
tell you what, I really do. And
by the way, we're speaking about the Foundation for Moral Law, ladies and gentlemen, aren't we, Kurt?
I hope so.
Well, that's right, and that's what Judge Roy Moore and his wife call their organization, the Foundation for Moral Law. And, you know, it's basically, in this story, they talk about defending a Montana mother's religious freedom, you know, and they believe, just like Sheriff Mack does, they want to defend everybody's freedom.
We don't even know what race this lady is, but we want to defend her freedom anyway, Kurt.
That's exactly right, Sam.
And I bring that up, Kurt, or Sheriff, on purpose, because really we're talking about the Foundation for Moral Law. Moral law says you would never discriminate against someone based on something they cannot control. Right? And people cannot control their race.
Yeah, in this story, the Kayla Moore, that's Judge Roy Moore's wife, is the president of the Foundation for Moral Law, and they believe that a Montana school choice program flagrantly discriminates against religious schools, religious parents, and religious children. We see it all the time. Montana resident Kendra Espinoza wanted to send her daughters to a private religious school, but the cost was prohibitive. The legislature established a scholarship program to provide school choice for families. However, the Department of Revenue imposed a rule limiting the scholarships to secular private schools only. So she filed suit.
What do you say to that, Sheriff? Sounds like... you know, Roy Moore and his wife, Kayla, are doing a great job for people who need it.
Well, I really admire them for it, both Judge Moore and his wife. And I think they're really good people. And I think that affirmative action has been a joke. It has exposed our own government's ridiculous stand on discrimination. And I said this. When I was on the American Candidate on Showtime, I said the answer to discrimination is not more government discrimination. And I even used a young, poor white boy in my class as the example. I said, here we have Ian, he's a poor little white boy. Let's just pretend that his dad died when he was young and he worked his way through, working his way through high school. He had two jobs, part-time jobs, and he actually did at the time, and he's helping his mom and his brothers and sisters, and he's the oldest, although he wasn't, and we said, and he worked and worked and worked, and he got up to college, and he had the best qualifications to get into college, best GPA, and yet he was passed over by an Asian, a Hispanic, and a Black. And I said, any of you think that's fair and right? And everybody totally said, no way, that's not right. It should not be based on race. And yet we have a government program based on race. And we need to get for that and get back to fairness in this government.
And the Foundation for Moral Law president, Kayla Moore, went on to say about the Montana Department of Revenue's rule. She said it flagrantly discriminates against religious schools, religious parents, and religious children. This has the effect of establishing a religion of secularism, preferring those who do not believe over those who do believe. The Constitution prohibits such discrimination. Anyway,
it's almost like a litmus test, isn't it? Sure.
That's right.
Well, it is. And that should be another huge embarrassment to these shameless people in Washington, D.C. But they're just so stupid. And really, and I said this in class, too. I said, who's really the idiot here? The politicians or the people that keep voting for them?
A little bit of both. The problem is the people that keep voting for him oftentimes aren't even caught up because of the manipulations of the mainstream press. Last story before the end of the hour, ladies and gentlemen. Did you know that hospital workers are spreading infections when washing their hands? Why? Because the inside of faucets where you can't clean them were much dirtier than expected. That ought to make you feel good, huh, Sheriff?
Oh, gosh. I've actually thought of that before. Good grief.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Hard-hitting talk at your fingertips from Liberty Roundtables Live. Thank you, Sheriff.
Hey, thank you, guys. Love you. See you soon.
Sheriff Richard Mack, ladies and gentlemen, the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association. Become a member today. Learn about it, cspoa.org. Check it out. For Sam and Kurt and the good sheriff, we declare we the people. Along with the grace of the Almighty, we can and will restore our grand old republic. Will you get involved, make it a great day, and choose the right? Donate at LibertyRoundtable.com. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.